13, we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 22. I'll be reading those in a moment, and if you have an outline there, you probably do within your bulletin, you can find the outline there that you can have out and ready to follow along with me. All right, I'm going to read then Exodus 13, beginning at verse 17. And this is after the plagues of Egypt, after the Passover, the death of the firstborn, and prior to the separating of the Red Sea, when Israel had yet to escape from the army that was pursuing them. But this is in between that moment. And so they have gone out of Egypt, practically driven out because, and given riches to go with them, right? The Egyptians said, you know, please leave before we all die. Just go. And so this is them departing from slavery in Egypt and having just seen a miraculous intervention on their behalf, and more to come actually in the future. But we come to Exodus chapter 13. Allow me to read verses 17 through 22, and then we will pause for a moment of prayer, all right? It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Let's pause then for a moment of prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the preservation of your word concerning this miraculous deliverance of your people. And Lord, we give you thanks that as you did these things in Egypt, it was to later point to those things to say, this is who I am. I am this God who is faithful, who has compassion, who is with you and will deliver you. And so, Lord, this establishes your character before us so that even today, when we face things that may loom large in our lives, as large as the Egyptian army chasing us, we know that we have a God who leads us and directs us. So, Lord, may you help us. May you build our faith. May you strengthen our trust that we might learn to walk with you in any and every circumstance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have been around Northern Kentucky or lived in Northern Kentucky for any time, you are familiar with detour signs, are you not? They are not a welcome sight to most drivers. It means your plan is about to be interrupted. You will have to go a direction that you did not intend. It will probably add time to your trip. There's the likelihood that you will be taken through an unfamiliar area with a greater chance of getting lost again, adding more time to your trip. I've been through several detours. One thing I've learned, however, is that most of the time, you are better off if you follow the detour. Now, it is true. I think if you've been around, you know, if you've lived a life at all, if you have any number of years on you, you will know that there are many unexpected detours in life. By a detour, I mean an unexpected path that you will have to follow, something you would not likely have chosen for yourself, something that when you look at it doesn't make sense to you. There seems to be a better way to go. When the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt, he did so with that one last powerful plague. The firstborn in Egypt died that night unless they exercised faith and put the blood over the door of the Passover lamb, the blood of the Passover lamb. But if they didn't do that, then the firstborn died in that household. And after that dreadful night, Pharaoh compelled Israel to leave the land, and Israel made its escape out of Egypt. Now, the most direct route to the promised land would have been through the Isthmus of Suez and then on up through the land of the Philistines. A journey of a little over 100 miles would have taken them directly to their destination, this land that had been promised all the way back in the time of Abraham. It wouldn't have been that long of a trip. But God didn't permit them to go that way. He turned them south on a much longer route. Sometimes Israel's journey into the Sinai Peninsula would appear haphazard if you followed their trail. Often it wouldn't make sense to them at all. And they didn't know it at the time, but this journey would last 40 years. Why would the Lord take them on such a detour? You may ask that question about your life sometimes. Perhaps there are times when you find yourself in a situation or circumstance that just baffles you. It doesn't make sense from your perspective to have to go along that path that is forced upon you by life. So you ask the Lord why your life is heading in this unwelcome direction. Why does the Lord bring detours into your life? Now, you can see what appears to be a much more direct, efficient path. Perhaps things would work out so much better if he'd take you that way, you reason in your mind. You'd be much happier, or so it seems to you. Which is what the point is. You don't know the future. You can't see what's up ahead. You don't know if that pathway will lead you to a bridge that is out just up around the bend. But the Lord knows these things, and he directs your path. He takes you on detours that he has chosen for you on purpose. His purpose for your life and for your soul. And so we're going to ask this question: why does the Lord take you on such detours in life? Now, the first reason that we learn in this passage is that the Lord knows your weaknesses. One of the reasons that the Lord takes you on a detour in your life is because he knows your weaknesses. God had a purpose for directing Israel along a more circuitous route. So let's look again at verse 17 and the beginning of 18. It said, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. God had a purpose in this detour. He knew Israel's weakness. He tailored their escape route to match their weakness. Because the more direct route through the land of Philistia was a well-worn military path. The Egyptians had military posts all along the way. This route was like the warrior's path here in pre-frontier days of Kentucky, if you know your Kentucky history. The warrior's path. It led from Tennessee up to Ohio, right? And the warrior's path came from the Holston region of Tennessee, the eastern part of Tennessee, up through Kentucky to the Ohio River. Cherokee to the south and Shawnee to the north used to raid one another along that path. And so if you traveled on it, there was a good possibility that you'd meet up with a band of warriors looking for a fight. It's the same thing with this road through the Philistine country. The Lord knew Israel was not ready for the kind of battles that would await them on that road. Therefore, he sent them on a detour. Now, many of the detours of your life are designed by God for this very same reason. He knows a particular weakness you have, and he sends you roundabout so that you will not meet up with a challenge that may overwhelm you at this particular moment in your life. The Lord is incredibly sensitive to our weaknesses, be they physical, emotional, or spiritual. With his sensitivity to our weaknesses, his wisdom and goodness come into play. So he tailors our life path accordingly. The Bible says that God knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Psalm 103:14. The book of Hebrews says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Because God is so sensitive to our limitations, Paul can write this: no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm incredibly encouraged by God's sensitivity to our weaknesses. Years ago, at my ordination service in this sanctuary, I introduced to you a professor of mine, Dr. James Hamilton. Now, James Hamilton represents to me how God is sensitive to our weaknesses. When I first went to college to study for the ministry, I wasn't sure if I could actually do the work of a pastor. Some of my friends took student pastorates, but I didn't even consider it because I lacked the confidence to try. God knew my weakness, and he directed my life. I happened to take a philosophy class with Dr. Hamilton. His son was in that class, and he actually talked me into taking the class. I hadn't had the intro class yet. It was an upper-level class, and I got special permission to enter it. And then my friend didn't tell me, but he decided not to take the class. So I was sitting in there in this upper-level philosophy class, kind of looking around, you know. And one day, Dr. Hamilton asked me to come to his office after the class. And I thought he was going to tell me I didn't belong there. But actually, as he explained, he had an opportunity to go to Russia at the time. This was right at the time of the fall of the Berlin Wall, right? So he had an opportunity to go to Russia to teach philosophy at Novosibirsk State University. He would be the first Christian philosopher that this school had ever had. The philosophy department had formerly been called the Department of Atheism. But they said, we know that atheism does not work, and so we are wanting to find different perspectives on life and see what works. And so they were interested in the Christian worldview and wanted a Christian to teach there for the fall semester. What did that have to do with me? Nothing. Except that Dr. Hamilton was the pastor of a small church in Gravel Switch, Kentucky. And he asked me, as I went to his office, if I would consider becoming the pastor of that church while he was gone. And so I told him I would pray about it and get back with him. And I felt the Lord directing me to this. And so that summer before he left, Rose and I helped with their vacation Bible school. So we went out to Gravel Switch, 35 miles, with Dr. and Mrs. Hamilton. And we helped in their vacation Bible school, began to get to know some of the people there. And then we would go with them on Sundays and ride with the Hamiltons. And we would go to Sunday school. We would go to worship. We'd go on visitation. and then Bible study in the evening. And what this did for me was give me an introduction to the people, and it allowed me to observe Dr. Hamilton teach Sunday school, teach Bible study, lead worship, and do visitation. It gave me the boost in confidence that I needed to undertake a pastoral duty. So Dr. Hamilton returned from Russia, and he assumed his role as pastor once again. But the next year, he was given another opportunity at another university in Russia, and he decided to go again. But this time, he said he wasn't returning to the church. And then I was asked to become the pastor of that church, which I did for the rest of the time that I was in seminary. I'm grateful for the gentle way in which God nudged me into the pastoral ministry. God knows our weaknesses. He knew my lack of confidence in doing that, and he provided an entry into doing this in a way that would build my confidence and enable me to do this. So God knows our weaknesses. He tailors our experiences to address those weaknesses and help us move ahead in our walk of faith. There's something we must realize, that God knows our weaknesses better than we know our weaknesses. Look at the end of verse 18 here in this chapter. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Ready for battle. Do you remember what it said about them earlier? Said God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. Why? Because he said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. They went out ready, dressed for battle. They were ready for battle. They went out in battle array because they assumed they were ready. They didn't know they were not up to it yet, but the Lord did. So he took them on a different route. There's a verse of scripture that has taken on more significance to me as I see the complexities of life. Many times I'm left without knowing exactly how to pray. But Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our what? Weaknesses. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God takes our weaknesses into account, and he addresses them, and he makes up for our weaknesses. He orders our life so that we will not be overcome in our weaknesses. He takes us on a detour through life suited to help us grow. And he brings the full resources of the Holy Spirit to bear on our infirmities. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God that we may trust. Well, there's a second reason that the Lord may take you on a detour in life. When I was at Asbury College, I worked in the physical plant, and we'd start the day with a devotion and prayer. Randy Richardson was the plant manager, and often he would lead our devotional time, and one of his frequent prayers was that God would make our lessons gentle. I appreciated that prayer because I know that our lessons are not always gentle. Even though the Lord spared Israel from going up that military road to a severe testing, Israel didn't have an easy time of it, even on the route that they went. They were tested over and over again in the wilderness. That's because God not only knows our weaknesses, he knows our needs. So that's the second reason on your outline. Why does the Lord bring detours into your life? Because God knows your needs. Sometimes we need to be tested to make our faith grow. Often that's what a detour in life is all about. It's a testing of our faith so that we grow in some area of our life. Israel knew the power of God and his supremacy over all other gods. They witnessed this in the plagues of Egypt. What they did not yet know was the Lord's care over them in a direct experiential way. The experiences described on the way to Mount Sinai would leave them with no doubt over his providential care for them. He would provide them victory over their enemies, but he would also meet them in a daily way to provide their food. He would give them water when they were without water. He provided wisdom in how to lead such a large company of people through the wilderness. He met their every need. And later on in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, it describes his care for them as God carrying them as on wings as eagles. Israel would learn that God cares for them in this way as they went about in the desert on this detour. So do not despise the detours of life, because you and I have lessons to learn. The best way for us to learn them is through the experiences of life. So God sometimes takes us on a detour to address a spiritual need that we have. These detours are designed to increase our faith or shape our character in significant ways. Sometimes they are gentle, often they are not, but the important thing is how we respond in the midst of them. Do we learn so that it affects our development and allows us to move on to greater spiritual growth? Or do we fail the test and have to be brought back to the same lesson again in a different, perhaps harsher way? I had a gentle lesson, as I described in my first experience pastoring a church. But what if I had not responded as I did? What if I had turned Dr. Hamilton down? What if I had refused this opportunity or somehow backed away from the lesson presented to me? I would have had to learn it in some other way. Dawson Trotman was the founder of the Navigators, a Christian ministry on college campuses. The Navigators do evangelism, but they also have a heavy emphasis on discipleship. At a crucial time in the development of Dawson Trotman's spiritual life and ministry and the vision that God was calling him to, God presented him with a detour. Dawson picked up a hitchhiker one day whose speech seemed to indicate that he was not a believer. In a short time, Dawson discovered that this man was one of his converts from the previous year whose decision had not been followed up, and as a result, this man's faith had shriveled up. Shaken by this experience, Dawson reasoned that there must be countless converts just like this man. So this was a test for growth. Would Dawson Trotman just lament the fact that many people, after they're converted, seem to fall away? Or would he do something about it? Dawson realized God was challenging him, and so he resolved to follow up everybody that he led to Christ. He wanted to encourage others to do the same. And out of this experience and out of this subsequent growth in his obedience to God, Dawson developed the principles of ministry upon which he founded the Navigators, which is a ministry of discipleship. This is how you and I need to respond to the detours of life that God providentially provides for us. We need to embrace them as the wisdom of God for our good and learn the lessons that God has for us in them. Now, I've shared with you two reasons that you may find yourself on a detour in life. Now, this list is not exhaustive, of course, but it comes out of these verses here in Exodus chapter 13. And so those reasons were that because God knows your weaknesses, he may take you on a detour. Another reason is because God knows your needs. And because of that, he may take you on a detour in life. But besides knowing your weaknesses, and besides knowing your needs, the Lord also knows your strengths. And you may be up for a challenge that will bring him glory. So maybe that is why he takes you on a different path. And of course, there are always those detours in life that we cannot explain, that we cannot surmise even after they occur. We have no reason to explain it. But we know whom we have believed, and we trust his goodness, and we cling to his presence. But in our passage today, the Lord shows us that oftentimes the detour is because he knows our weakness and he's gentle to us. Or it's because he knows our need, that we must experience something new in order to grow in our relationship with him or in our development of our own spiritual life. So I would ask you today, what detour in life are you facing on this day? Is there a lesson in faith or a refinement in your character that God is bringing your way? How will you respond to it? How do you look upon the circumstances and the experiences of life? Many years ago, I was reading a book on this very thing, and in the margin I had written, Lord, what are you teaching me right now? How can I respond to this experience so that growth may occur in my life? Now, you know, nothing ever surprises the Lord. For in his providence, he plans the best path for his people to take. We may not always understand the way he chooses. We may not like the path that he puts us on. But his way is always the right way. And so we may confidently say with the psalmist, with David, Psalm 23, verse 3, the Lord leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we can humbly pray with the psalmist in chapter 20, in Psalm 25, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. In this way, the detours of your life will produce growth in your understanding of God and of yourself, and it will lead to enrichment in your experience of God's presence and his care over you. Would you bow with me? Lord, as we learned last week, that you do not change. That is a good thing, because that means your character is impeccable. You are faithful. You are good. And you have pledged to be with us at all times. And so, Lord, at every turn in the road, at every detour that might be presented to us, even when we don't understand the reason or the purpose, we do understand your character. You are good, you are faithful, and you are with us. Lord, may you build our faith as we learn the lessons that you present to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.